And good evening to everybody over in Ottawa. It's Mick calling from the Iraq Peace Team. And back in Baghdad, after a 24-hour journey down to Basra, the southern port city of Basra, just to give you a little bit of a background on the city, just from observation and some of the research we had done coming in. Basra was actually much more visibly affected by the effects of the Gulf War bombings in Baghdad. And throughout the city, you can see that there are shells of specific buildings, including a Pepsi-Cola plant that was bombed out. Definitely a rougher-looking city than Baghdad, which is has been repaired quite considerably in the after effects of the bombing. Have been reduced here in Baghdad, but in Basra it's quite visible. It's definitely more of my sense is much more of a working class city. It's located on the port in the south of Iraq, and we had a chance to have several meetings down there, including with an imam of the main Shia mosque in Basra, as well as a principal, which was quite an interesting discussion. I'll start with the principal. We had a chance to visit her in her home. Her name's Nasra, and we had a very good conversation about the current state of education in Iraq generally, as well as more specifically about the challenges she's facing as the school administrator with the looming threat of war upcoming. The students are, as you might imagine, are very much affected by the threat of a U.S. attack, and in fact, just only 2 months ago, there was a bombing raid in Basra, and not too far away from her particular school. So the students are very fearful of anything that might happen in the future. In addition to the challenges that are affecting the learning environment in terms of the fear factor, there are also very concrete effects in terms of access to supplies and books. Prior to the Gulf War, books were readily available, brand new textbooks and very good supplies in schools. Since the Gulf War, and especially as a result of the economic sanctions, they're finding that they have to do with older textbooks and fewer supplies more generally. As well, class sizes have increased to 55 to 60 students per classroom. That's up from about 25 to 30 before the Gulf War. And the reason for that is the Iraqi government has not been able to build enough schools to keep up with the rising enrollment, the rising number of children that require schools. As a result, class sizes have increased dramatically, and this is obviously affecting the learning environment as well. Teachers, in addition, are making relatively little compared to what they made before the Gulf War, with the massive depression in the exchange value of the Iraqi dinar versus the U.S. dollar. The buying power is severely limited these days, and many teachers are indeed forced to work a second job. Many teachers you'll actually find driving taxi cabs around cities in Iraq overall. So it's very much a struggle, not only the economic factors, but also the threat of war. Quite an interesting conversation we had with her, and nonetheless, they're determined to keep going and struggling through this this difficult time. We also had a chance to talk with an imam at the main Shia mosque in Basra, and had a fairly lengthy discussion about the fatwa, which was put in place just over a year ago. A series of imams got together and issued this fatwa in defense of the people of Iraq. And this is a fatwa for self-defense, essentially, against all invading forces within the borders of Iraq. In speaking to the imam, he regarded war as a loss for both sides and asked to pass along the message to people back home in our own communities that, quote, "We believe in peace. We hate fighting." That is a message I'd like you to pass along to Canadians and Americans when you arrive home. So quite, again, a very revealing discussion. We'll certainly be writing more about that in some more detail. We also had a chance to visit a water treatment plant, which was bombed in 1999 by U.S. jets for reasons unknown. And the water treatment plant was just recently rebuilt with the help of some NGO folks, and it is now functioning, although certainly the water coming out of the taps is not particularly safe for drinking purposes. And chlorine is actually a prohibited material in Iraq in some cases because it's regarded as a dual-use weapon, meaning it can be used for the purpose of manufacturing chemical weapons. So there are some restrictions on the import and production of chlorine, and in fact, the only chlorine that's permitted as import here in Iraq is chlorine coming from China, which apparently is not of the highest quality and severely affects the ability of the Iraqis to treat their drinking water. So this is a very severe limitation, and as a result, we've seen rising rates of cholera and other waterborne diseases. This was certainly evident as we visited a hospital also in Basra, where not only water being a huge issue, but depleted uranium. The bulk of the attacks against Iraq in terms of the effects of depleted uranium took place in the Basra area. And there are some heavily contaminated areas which have caused alarming rises in congenital malformations and various forms of cancer, and especially leukemia for children. So we had a chance to visit with some of the children, interact with them, and it's definitely not a very good situation for children in that part of Iraq. In addition to that, we had a chance to meet with a couple of public sector workers working in the hospital, and they described their own struggles of dealing with fairly low salaries and being forced into a situation of being reliant on food rationing in order to survive. So even basic needs based on their wages are difficult to come by. So all in all, a very big challenge for people living in Basra as well as all over Iraq because of both the economic sanctions as well as the looming threat of a U.S. attack. But life goes on for most Iraqis, and they're struggling as best as they can and certainly determined to get through this very difficult time. This is Mick Panitzer reporting from the Iraq Peace Team in Baghdad. To read regular reports, you can check out the No War Pay website, and that's to be found at www.nowar-paix.ca. That's www.nowar-pay.ca.